In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
I can't remain part of the mainstream Democratic Party when I listen to the cheering of death.
They're not allowed to say boy and girl, male and female. That's what's coming down the pike at us. You're simply kidding yourself if you think that that's a harmless set of pedagogical norms.
We are propagating secularism from our pulpits, and that's why secularism is on the rise.
What you need is not a ladder. What you need is a savior. What you need is not works. What you need is grace. You need forgiveness.
Everybody homeschoolers, follow me, Jesus, etc.
Is the theory of evolution settled science? If someone says, you know, I think that alongside the standard textbook evolutionary model, when we teach things about origins, it really isn't that often in grade school or high school, we ought to at least give them the option of learning about intelligent design, other theories of origins, or maybe even some sort of creation. Is that brainwashing our children in the classroom? That's what we often hear from the proponents of evolution. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live this Friday afternoon, August the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about two recent NPR commentaries on evolution and creation, dealing with several of those objections. Dr. Andrew Snelling of Answers in Genesis will be our guest. A little bit later, Pastor Peter Burfeind will join us. We're going to talk about the white male European roots of progressive liberal ideology. We're often told that we want to disconnect ourselves and our society from everything that's white and male, and yet all the ideas of progressivism and liberalism came from white European men. A little bit later after that, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We play this game with our listeners where we play four soundbites and then they vote. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. They can send a vote via email, talkback at issuesetc.org. You can also vote via Twitter at issuesetc or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to respond to two recent NPR commentaries on evolution and creation, Dr. Andrew Snelling. He has a PhD in geology from the University of Sydney in Australia, and he's research geologist and speaker for Answers in Genesis. Dr. Snelling, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
I've noticed in the last decade or so that rather than simply ignoring creation and intelligent design, or simply laughing them off as ludicrous, the advocates of evolution are, to put it in my terms, coming after those positions. Why is this?
Well, ultimately, Todd, because it's a spiritual issue. We're saying there is a God who created, and therefore all men need to bow the knee to the Creator. And ultimately, it's their willfulness to rebel against the Creator. And so we're presenting cogent arguments that support what God's word says, and they don't want that. They don't want to listen, and they don't want people to listen. They want people to rebel against God like they are. And so ultimately, I believe it's a spiritual issue. After all, why would they care if there is no God and there's no right and wrong, and when you die, and that's it? Why would they be bothered trying to make people believe what they believe? If everyone is just going to die and that's the end of it, to be consistent with their belief, why should they care if we believe that there's a God or not? If we're wrong, well, so be it. We're going to all die anyway. No, that illustrates that what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, they know that there is a God because of the things that he's made, but they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And so they want to oppose that because they don't want to bow the knee to God. Ultimately, I believe it's a spiritual issue.
It is also assumed often, and you see it coming through in the commentaries from National Public Radio, the two that we're discussing here, that the theory of evolution is simply settled science. The questions are settled. There's no gaps in the theory. There's no problems with the theory. Or as they say, there's no controversy. Evolution is the answer. Is that true?
No, it's not, Todd, because it's all in definitions. I mean, some of the articles I've seen, they talk about the facts of evolution. The fact is they claim that man and dinosaurs never lived together. But, you know, and they talk about the data. But what is the data? The data is what you can observe. You observe dead fossils. You don't observe things living together. You find a layer with dinosaur fossils in. True, you don't find human fossils in the same layers as dinosaur fossils, but we also have eyewitness testimony from historians like Marco Polo, who visited China and saw that the emperors bred dragons to pull the chariots, and he described these dragons and their depictions of dinosaurs, or of the Scandinavian king Beowulf, who slew a dragon that was terrorizing villages and killing people, and the description of that beast is an accurate description of a Tyrannosaurus Rex. I mean, are we going to believe the eyewitness account of people that were there? If we're in a judge and jury situation, is the judge more and jury more interested in the eyewitnesses who saw the person pull the trigger, or the so-called experts who think because of their reconstruction of the scene of the crime, based on the fact that they weren't there, and they're just piecing together the evidence, then who and they make a different claim. Who is the judge and jury going to believe? We don't dig up dinosaur fossils with labels on them saying, I'm 65 million years old. No, the 65 million years is an interpretation imposed on the fossils. All we see are fossils and rock layers. So for them to claim that that's proven fact and that's the data, no, it's not. The 65 million years is an interpretation of what is observed. We all have the same fossils and we have the same rocks. Why would there be controversy if it's perfectly clear from eyewitness testimony? No, it's not. It's not perfectly clear. And we are saying we do have an eyewitness testimony. The Creator God, who has always existed and knows everything, who never makes mistakes and never tells lies, he has told us about the flood, a time when the ocean waters flooded the continents. So we would expect to find rock layers with fossils in them, billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. Why is it that we find marine creatures buried on the continents? Everyone agrees that the ocean waters flooded the continents. They fail to tell people that. And all they do is keep on parroting this idea that the facts of science prove evolution. What are the facts of science? It's only what you observe, not the interpretations that they have based on their assumptions.
One of the issues raised in one of the National Public Radio commentaries has to do with the United States Grand Canyon. Here I just read a section of the commentary for you. Science, of course, tells us that the Grand Canyon dates back many millions of years. Ann Reed, director of the National Center for Science Education, puts it, the Grand Canyon is one of the most powerful places on Earth to show the difference between religious thinking and scientific thinking. What's your reaction to that?
My reaction to that is, where are the labels on the rock layers in the Grand Canyon saying they're millions of years old? Where is the replay of the Colorado River carving out the Grand Canyon? I mean, I go rafting down the Grand Canyon. In fact, the same article talks about the NCSC running science-based raft trips down the canyon. We do science-based raft trips down the Grand Canyon. I was there last month. The reason there are rapids in the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon is because there's flash floods in the side canyons that put debris in the path of the Colorado River. And they've been doing that before the dams were in place. And yet the Colorado River, when it was in flood, historical flood, before the dams were in place, could not remove that debris from the river. So if the Colorado River carved out the Grand Canyon, why are there still rapids in the Grand Canyon? No, those who make those claims parrot the same tired arguments that we have refuted time and time again in pointing to the evidence, in pointing to the rock layers in the Grand Canyon, the fossils in the Grand Canyon, the topography of the Grand Canyon that tells us that it had to be a lot of water and a little bit of time. After all, if the canyon has been there for millions of years, where is all the debris that was should be falling from the walls, from the cliffs, and cluttering up the walls of the canyon? One of the things that people notice as soon as we pointed out to them, how clean the walls of the canyon are. If a lot of water flushed through that area to carve out the canyon, it would take all that debris with it. All we see is a little bit of debris, thousands of years' worth of debris, that's all.
When the concern is raised that kind of the classroom concern, Dr. Snelling, that we shouldn't be confusing our children in schools, allowing alternate ideas of origins to be taught. Evolution is good enough. Let's not confuse them with intelligent design or even the prospect of a creation. What is your response to that?
My response is they accuse us of brainwashing, but that's effectively what they want. They want their worldview, their view that there is no God, that life evolved over millions of years. They want that taught as fact, and they want children to repeat this mantra that the earth is millions of years old, etc., etc. And they don't want competition, which would allow children to critically think. I mean, Bill Nye, the science guy, tells everyone that we're brainwashing kids. They can't think critically because of us teaching them about creation. Wait a minute. If a child is taught to look at the evidence and think about what is the assumptions, how is that interpretation based on assumptions, what is the data, what is the fact, the observable fact, what is interpretation, that's teaching our children to think very critically. And what he fails to tell people is that it was Christians who believed in creation that were the founders of modern science. Isaac Newton, Galileo, Kepler, Michael Faraday, all these men were Christians who believed that there was a creator, and therefore he made this earth with rules as to how it would operate, and they wanted to think God's thoughts after him. And so to just teach children one view as if it was proven fact when it's not proven fact, because it's not simply based on observation, it's based on interpretation using assumptions, we're not allowing our children to think critically. All they're going to do is parrot the same thing. Why are children dropping out of science education? Because they think that science has solved all the world's problems and we don't need scientists, because they don't want to have to think. They don't have to think critically. If we teach our children to think critically, it means presenting them with different ways of looking at the same observational evidence. And we believe that by giving the children that choice, it allows them to make that choice as they critically think through the issues, rather than having to be brainwashed and parrot the party line.
Dr. Andrew Snelling has a PhD in geology from the University of Sydney in Australia. He is a research geologist and speaker for Answers in Genesis. You will find a link to Answers in Genesis at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Snelling, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. It's a pleasure.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the white male European roots of liberal and progressive ideology. Pastor Peter Berfein will be our guest.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul's Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Lake George Lutheran Chapel, Fremont, Indiana. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. Faith Lutheran, Buford, South Carolina. Trinity Lutheran, Great Falls, Montana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Westview, Pennsylvania. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa. Trinity and Grace Lutheran, Bear Creek, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Sevierville, Tennessee. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois. And Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. The Issues Etc. 300.